Recorder's on.
All right, good morning. It's Tuesday, October 26th, 2021, approximately 9:02 a.m. This is a meeting, a regular meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board of Employees Retirement System of the City of Milwaukee. Could we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Bell? Not present as yet. Mr. Benson?
Present.
Mr. Campbell?
Here.
Ms. Ford?
Present.
Ms. King?
Present.
Mr. Klusman?
Here.
Mr. Kovac? Mr. Kovac? Okay, and Mr. Conrad?
I said here twice. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mr. Conrad?
Here.
Thank you. Quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Tzatziki, could you tell us who else is at the meeting?
Mr. Silver, Mr. Sala, Mr. Petropoulos, Mr. Schober, Ms. Johnson, Mr. McLean, Mr. Lubarski, Mr. Allen, Ms. Wills, and Tzatziki.
Okay, thank you. The first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes of the regular meeting held September 29th, 2021. Do we have a motion to approve?
Mr. Benson, I'll move.
Thank you. Is there a motion? Is there a second for that motion?
Mr. Campbell, I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. The motion to approve has been made and seconded. Any objections? Hearing none, the motion passes. The next item is the Chief Investment Officer's report. Mr. Silver.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. A couple things really quick. I think Mr. Bell was excused. I think he had said that this day just didn't work for him. Jan, so if you want to mark him for that.
Yes, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. And then, before I turn it over to Eric, I do want to just give everybody a reminder for the upcoming November 11th Investment Committee. Just a couple weeks away now. Callan is preparing some pretty important presentations that they'll go over at the meeting. Staff has worked behind the scenes with Callan and seen some drafts. One of them has to do with the hedge fund funds search that we approved just last month in September. Callan does plan to present a list of recommended finalists that they recommend to the committee to consider as part of that search. Callan's also putting together a fixed income structure review, which is they'll provide some options for the board to consider how to allocate that 23% of our fund's assets over the long term going forward. And Callan's also putting together a real estate review for the committee. Real estate continues to be a bright spot in our portfolio as well. In addition to, I guess, us working in collaboration with Callan, staff is also putting together a third quarter performance report, the period ending in September 30th. Just a small glimpse, it does look like our fund is, we're probably going to end up plotting in the top decile of our public fund peers for that three-month time period. And we continue to be very pleased with how the fund's both total returns as well as the outperformance we've been able to generate so far year to date this year. I think if you include yesterday, I think our fund is now up a little over 16% net of fees. So with that, I'll turn it over to Eric to go over performance and the monthly handout in more detail.
Thank you, Mr. Silver. Mr. Silver?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. The fund ended the month of September with a value of $6.03 billion. Stocks saw a little bit of a pullback in September, particularly towards the end of the month, on concerns over rising rates, inflation, and some a scare in the Chinese property market. Even given all that, the fund had a return of down approximately 20 basis points net of fees, which outperformed the blended benchmark by approximately 54 basis points. Then you can see in the chart to the right that the fund is now outperforming in all time periods except for the 15-year time period, where it's roughly matching the benchmark net of fees. The performance drivers were for September. The main driver was really private equity. We had another quarter of just really strong private equity reports that came in. So that added approximately 56 basis points to relative returns. As stocks pulled back, we saw value and small cap tend to outperform growth and large cap. So that meant that a growth manager like William Blair underperformed, and that detracted approximately 12 basis points from returns. And then the fund's style bias added 15 basis points to returns. And again, that's from the intentional value and small cap overweight that we have. Stock markets have turned around a bit in October. As of the Friday the 22nd, the fund was up approximately 2.2% in October, which brought the year-to-date return to 15.9% net of fees and brought the approximate value up to $6.16 billion. 12 of the fund's 15 active mandates are outperforming year-to-date net of fees, and the total fund, along with all of the asset classes, are exceeding their respective benchmarks year-to-date. Year-to-date, the fund has generated an investment gain of $871.1 million, paid out benefits and expenses of $344.1 million, and has received contributions of $101.9 million. For withdrawals this month, we'll be taking $8.5 million from the S&P 500 index, $7 million from DFA's U.S. Small Cap Value Strategy, $5.5 million from Poland, $5 million from the BlackRock Global Alpha Tilts, $4 million from Earnest, $3 million each from the Russell 1000 Index and Castle Ark, and then $2 million from DFA U.S. Large Cap Value. Finally, I have one more reporting item to make everyone aware of. This is something that didn't make it to us in time to get in the board packet, but we completed it since the packet went out. Prologis had a proxy vote that we worked with Callan to complete, and essentially really the only change that we ended up voting on was we elected a different arrangement for the performance fee. It doesn't change any of the amounts or any of the performance hurdles or anything like that, but what it does change is the timing. So the way it worked under the old arrangement was Prologis would essentially they would be eligible for a performance fee based on trailing 3-year performance. So in 2023, they'd look back at how they did the prior 3 years and get a performance fee off of that. Then in 2026, same thing, they'd look back at the prior 3 years and be paid a performance fee off of that. What they gave investors the option to do was split that into thirds. So really that a third of the performance fee is hitting each year. Now after that 2023 performance fee, what will happen is the first third will come due in 2026, the second third will come due in 2027, and that last third will come due in 2028. And then after that, it'll be a third each year on kind of rolling 3-year periods. And Caleb recommended that we elect that just because it, it spreads out the performance fee and it better aligns Prologis' incentives, to keep the performance of the fund consistent rather than, be tempted to potentially, try to execute a sale quickly because they want to get something locked in right before that performance fee is going to hit. Not that we think they've ever done anything like that, but it's just Callan's take was that this better aligns the incentives. So as I said, that was something that we worked with Callan to execute and we're required to report to the board on. So If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them at this time. Otherwise, that concludes my report.
All right. Are there any questions for Mr. Sauer or Mr. Zilber? All right. Hearing none, we'll move to the next item, which is new business. The first item is retirement death claims and refunds for September. Mr. Allen?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in the packet is the normal monthly report for the payroll. As Rudy mentioned, retirement death claims and refunds for the month of September. So it's pretty much routine housekeeping to approve the issuance of the payroll, which is coming up this week. I have no exceptions to report on this. So we just need a motion rather to approve the payroll.
All right, thank you. Any questions on those retirement death claims or refunds? Okay, hearing none, can we have a motion to approve the payroll?
Mr. Campbell.
Okay, Ms. Ford moves approval and Mr. Campbell seconds. Is that correct? So
yes.
Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion passes. The next item is the conference requests.
We have one request from Mr. Campbell to attend a real estate, an institutional real estate perspective. It's called Vision Insights and Perspectives Conference in January 24th to 26th. The estimated cost of that is about $2,000.
Do we need a motion to approve that?
Yes.
Okay. And Ms. Ford, would you be so kind to move to approve Mr. Campbell's trip? Do we have a motion to approve the conference request?
I'll make that motion.
This team makes the motion. Mr. Klusman seconds. Hearing any objections? Hearing none, the motion passes. The next item is the proposed 2020 board and committee meeting dates. Mr. Allen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in the package, we have a tentative or proposed calendar for each of the board and committee dates. You'll note that I think the real difference this time around for is we're proposing that for the most part, I guess it's actually for all the formal board meetings each month, that they will be moved onto a Tuesday, because there is some conflict with one of the trustees or one of the trustees with another commission that he is on. So and actually I personally like the idea of Tuesdays better, because we do have people that sometimes travel over the weekends, and not, you know, conducting these on Tuesday rather than Monday probably will help us assure that we have better attendance, although we have pretty good attendance now as it is. But nonetheless, the board meetings are tentatively proposed for Tuesday, and the A&O meetings, some of them are on Wednesday. We've tried to work around the F&P. I believe we succeeded, right, Jan?
Yes.
Yes. So, and the investment committee meetings are ad hoc, and they tend to fall on Thursday each month in which they occur.
Jerry?
Yes.
This is Mr. Klusman.
Okay.
Respectfully, I just want to interject before you get too far down this road.
Sure.
Because just to save you some time, Mr. Chair, I would motion that we hold this over till the next meeting, because we currently are missing one board member, and that board member actually is the board seat that's up for election. That's going to be resolved by the next meeting. And if we're going to discuss calendar, I think we should have all the trustees seated, just in case one of the two that prevails from this election has a problem with what we're setting. That wouldn't be in the members' interest. And we have 11,000 active members voting. I'm sure every one of them is voting currently, knock on wood. So whoever they seat should have some say in this calendar. We would hate to set it and then have them with some prior commitment every Tuesday.
All right. Is any further discussion on this issue?
Well, just to follow up on and confirm Mr. Klusman's point, the election will be held next Friday. We'll be tallying the ballots on Friday, and we'll have an answer that day as to, you know, who the, there's two candidates for trustee, and so by the next meeting, we will in fact know the outcome of that election.
Yeah, then if we discuss this at our November meeting, we'll have that, we'll know who that person is, and they can.
All right, so, we have a motion to hold this matter over till the next meeting so that the newly elected or the newly elected person has some say in reference to their calendar as well. Is there a second to that motion?
Benson, no second.
Thank you. The motion has been made and seconded. Any objections? Hearing no objections, the motion passes. We will take this up at the next meeting. So I think our next matter is the medical reports, all duty and ordinary disability applications and re-examinations for October.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we have a brief report this month. The first report, which is the medical panel approvals report. These were all re-examinations, and they were all recommended for approval by the medical panel physicians. And the second report, of course, as usual, is the medical council approvals report. And it's a similar story, all re-examinations and all recommendations from the medical council for approval on the of the re-exams. There are no exceptions to that and on either report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Allen on the all duty and ordinary disability report? Okay, hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the medical reports?
Klusman?
Kovac, second.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded to approve the medical reports. Any objections? Hearing no objections, the motion passes. The next item is unfinished business, pending legal opinions and service requests. Before we go to that, Mr. Allen, could we perhaps go to the pending legislation report?
Sure. Legislation or litigation, which you prefer? Legislation, okay.
Never mind. You can do the pending legal opinions service request report. I see that we have to go in closed session for information on this item.
Okay, Mr. McLean is on the line to talk about his glorious record of not having any outstanding legal opinions, right, Patrick?
No, that's correct. Thank you.
Yes, Patrick, I'd like to explain that when I was doing this, I had a list of shame. Part of the problem was I was getting opinion requests every other week. And once Mr. Allen took over, he reduced the number of requests. So I'd just like to say that on my behalf. Go ahead, Mr.
I couldn't agree more, Mr. Chair. Jerry and I maintain a very close working relationship, and I can honestly say that that substantially reduces the amount of back-end legal work that we have to do. So I concur in your comments completely.
All right, you can go ahead.
So moving on down to the service request portion of the report, there is a couple of entries for this month. The first one, Abbott Capital Partners, Abbott Capital Private Equity Investors. There's an entry dated 10/14 of this year. It's been assigned to outside legal counsel at Reinhart for a review of the partnership agreement. So that's still pending. And then the LaSalle Property Fund, the next item, is a similar entry assigned to outside counsel at Reinhart as well. So those are pending legal opinions from outside counsel. The next report, as you were suggesting, Mr. Chairman, is the pending legislation report. There's one item I think of note here. It's the first item on part one, having to do with pending charter ordinances for common council action. There was a communication file that was taken to to the Finance and Personnel Committee on the Mayor's Pension Task Force. The formal report of that task force that was given in closed session on the 6th, presented by a member of the mayor's staff, Mr. Shapinski. I guess he's the policy manager for the administration. He presented his report to the Finance and Personnel Committee, and there was some discussion in that. I was present for that. They allowed me to stay. So there was some discussion about that, but it, there's been no further action taken on that report since the time that it was you know, given. It was, it's now been referred also to the Steering and Rules Committee, which also held a hearing late after the issuance of this agenda. So no further action at this date. We're watching it closely to see if there's any legislation or, you know, draft legislation that results from it. But we don't have anything to report at this date. And that's really pretty much it for all the pending legislation updates.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Allen. Yes. If we have no questions, someone have a question? Okay, if we have no questions on those matters, we'll move on to Executive Director's report. So does anyone have a question on the pending legislation report? All right, hearing none, Mr. Allen, could you give us the Executive Director's report?
Surely. Okay, item number one, the personnel update. We are still working with the ER to fill the network administrator position and the program assistant two position, and those seem to be going well enough for recruiting. On member services, that there's some interesting developments in member services. We had in September we had 48 new retirees on the payroll, and we were anticipating 39 retirements this month, but an interesting development has occurred. Our member services people have been getting contacted by a significant number of people who are wishing to retire or consider retiring because the city adopted a new ordinance having to do with mandatory vaccination for all city employees. There is some provision, however, in that policy for exemptions for both religious and medical reasons. So the deadline for submitting proof of vaccination is this Friday. And I gather from our conversations with DER that there's a number of people who have asked for exemption for both religious and or medical reasons. They're kind of wading through that. But in the meantime, we've had a significant number of people saying that they want to consider retiring. We don't have a hard count at this point because we haven't reached a deadline, but we'll come back to the board next month and advise if we, to what extent there were people that actually did retire. The way the policy works, if you're not vaccinated by Friday, they're going to suspend people without pay for 30 days to give them a chance to receive the vaccination. If they are then not vaccinated, then they'll be terminated. So we'll have a pretty good idea over the next few months of how many people this will affect, but I just thought it would be noteworthy for the board to be aware of that. Mr. Juke held a number of retirement seminars this month for DPW and for community service officers as well, and the statistics are mentioned in the report. And we've got a couple more workshops scheduled for the remainder of the year, police's and fire and general city, particularly general city, that's the month coming up. The police and fire were taken care of this month. Financial services, we mailed out 277 unclaimed property letters. To date, we've gotten 101 responses through the end of September. We'll be finalizing that. Of course, any property that's unclaimed just reverts to the fund under state law. And we have three internal audit reports we're working with Clifton Larson Allen that will be presented in November. At the A&O meeting in December. Those reports are finance, accounting, and governance and ethics. We're looking forward to finalizing those. They're pretty much underway. And then lastly, oh, I think I did mention that already about the significant number of increase from member services. Interestingly, on that one, we've actually had a few people who applied for retirement, four or five in the last 24 hours, who decided not to retire. So it's still very much in a state of flux. We'll just have to stay tuned and see what happens. And of course, the policy is only applicable to general city employees. For you know, collectively bargained units, that would have to be negotiated. I believe the Police and Fire Commission has something to say about that as well. So that's my report for the month of October.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Any questions on his report? Okay, before I go to the next item, we'll have a closed session, but before I go there, I would remind the members our next meeting is also on a Tuesday, November 23rd, and the December meeting is also on a Tuesday, the 21st. Mr. Allen, has been any change to that to date, or are those dates still?
Those are still dates proposed, and of course, it's at the pleasure of the board, as always.
All right. Well, if anyone has difficulties with those dates, please let Mr. Allen know. The next item is in closed session. Therefore, please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board will convene in closed session on item A, pending litigation report, as provided in section 19.851G, Wisconsin State Statutes, to confer with legal counsel concerning strategy to be adopted by the board with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved. Board may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. Do we have a motion to go into closed session?
Benson will move.
Thank you, Mr. Benson. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. The motion to move into closed session has been made and seconded. Any objection or roll call, please?
Mr. Benson?
Aye.
Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Ford?
Aye.
Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Mr. Kovac?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye.
Quorum, and if you just say the time, then I'll pause the recorder. Thanks.
All right, the time is 9:29 a.m.
Thanks.
So could we reconvene in open session, Mr. Tzatziki?
Yeah, 1 second, I'm just moving some people around. Oh, 1 second, sir. Okay.
Could you just say the time, Mr. Conrad? Thanks.
Yes. It is 9:51 a.m. We are back in open session. We're on item number 6, informational, and there are items B through I on the agenda. These are really just for the benefit of the members to review if they choose to. Do we have any questions on any of those items? All right, hearing no questions, at this point we will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Klusman.
Mr. Klusman moves to adjourn. Do we have a second?
Second.
Ms. Ford seconds. So we have the motion to adjourn. It's been seconded. Any objections? Hearing none, we stand adjourned at 9:52 a.m. Thank you, everyone.